Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We want to continue right on in sharing what the Word has to say about the Holy Spirit. First of all, of course, that He is a person. And because He's a person, not only as we concluded yesterday's broadcast, we showed by Scripture what are the things that he does. He speaks, He reveals the future, He bears witness to us, He searches the things of God, He helps our infirmities, He teaches us, He reminds us of the things of the Lord, He leads us, and He commissions and sends laborers into the harvest field. Now, those are sort of a summary, very quickly, of His activities, but because He's a person, not only is He active in terms of what He does, but He can be responsive. In other words, what we do or don't do affects Him emotionally. Why? Because God has emotions. We're made in His image. We have emotions, do we not? And so I'd like to share some passages to show that the Holy Spirit does have emotions and how in the varying ways that we're going to look at in these scripture references, how He can be affected. First of all, it says, and I'm going to turn to Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 9, it says that He may be tempted, or perhaps a better rendition is tested. Again, I use the King James. So Acts 5th chapter, verse 9, and of course He's speaking here to Ananias and Sapphira. This is Peter. Peter said unto her, Sapphira, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. So they were not, they were testing the Holy Spirit. And of course, that was to their great loss. So He can be tempted or tested, if you will, and He can be resisted. There's another reference in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 51, and the Word says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." And so He can certainly be resisted. We saw this a lot as in the life and ministry of Jesus. The Pharisees, Sadducees just resisted the Holy Spirit. They resisted the truth of God that Jesus was declaring. Now, also, He can be grieved. And there is a reference in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 30, that says, and this is Paul admonishing us, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Also, we can see that He can be quenched. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 19, it just says very simply, in verse 8, actually, let's go up to 17, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And in verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit." So, in other words, what does that mean? Sometimes the Holy Spirit might be moving on us or on someone else, and because of human will, His desires, what He wants to do, is frustrated and is not allowed to happen because of the will of man. So we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We would never want to treat Him in these ways, would we? We don't want to test Him or quench His Spirit or resist Him. And then there's also another reference. We can vex or make Him angry. Isaiah 63, that's what it means to vex someone. Isaiah 63, and I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But, verse 10, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can make him angry or vex him. He can be resisted. We can test him. We can quench him. But we don't want to do these things, do we? Now, let's look at who he really is. He is our best friend. That's what he wants to be. He was sent to take Jesus's place on earth. In heaven now, remember that Jesus is in the presence of the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in our behalf, where he's living to make intercession for us. But here on earth, the Holy Spirit is present in us on our behalf. He's come to help us. He is the Comforter, or the one sent alongside to help. Anyone who's sent alongside to help us certainly is a friend, isn't that right? We have a blessed heaven-sent friend who is dwelling with us. He won't, you know, he doesn't work 9 to 5. He's with us 24 hours of every day of our lives as we walk and belong to Jesus. And he's also in us to help us in the individual needs of our lives. So, what would Jesus do in any given situation? Well, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit would like to do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. And it was expedient for our sakes, in our behalf, that Jesus should return to the Father so that this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit might come to us. Now, you might say, well, I still would have loved to have lived in the time of Jesus. And you know, that is true. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's going to be glorious when we can behold Jesus face to face when he returns, or when he brings us to him through the gateway of death. However, just think about this. Jesus was a physical person. He had a physical body. He couldn't be everywhere at once in his physical body. But the Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, you've got your own personal trainer, if you will. We have, just if Jesus was physically on this earth, he's a person, and so he can go from one person to another. But the Holy Spirit, because he is spirit, can be with each one of us at the same time. Is that not wonderful? Because he's God. And so that's why Jesus was saying, you know, please be glad that I'm going, because the Holy Spirit's now going to come. And let's look just contemplate, meditate the love and sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's all powerful. He's everywhere present. Yet there is a dimension of the Holy Spirit when we realize that he sees the smallest sparrow fall to the ground. He feels our heartaches. He knows what troubles us most. When we're hurting, he hurts, for he's our dearest friend. When we're downcast, the Holy Spirit mourns for us like a dove for its mate. Beloved, he knows each one of your successes as well as your temptations, and he's closer to you than the very breath that you breathe. And it is this same Holy Spirit who quickens the billions of brain cells, who sends life to the endless wiring of your nerve fibers, and who works on that internal part of you which contains the potential and power that he alone can unlock. Beloved, it's in the chambers of your heart, in your spirit man, that the Holy Spirit wants to do his greatest work. And what is that greatest work? It is to bring you the inexhaustible wonder of Jesus. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's desire to bring you the supernatural power and ability to do the work of the Master. Beloved, that's why it's so important, once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As you read the book of Acts, you see that it's a separate, distinct experience from salvation. Perhaps the most classic example is found in the 19th chapter of Acts, and I'm just going to take some time to read that. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Okay, Paul is now returning to Ephesus, and he said unto them, listen to what he says, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, of course, they received the Holy Spirit when they were saved, but they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptize of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid, see, they were baptized in water, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Praise God. Beloved, the greatest delight of the Holy Spirit is produce the nature of Jesus in us through his fruit with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. You know, there's so many Christian self-help books on the market, yet very little is written about this wonderful person of the Godhead who abides with us. We're told how to do this, how to gain that, but the ability to become intimate with the Holy Spirit is left out. So how can we become more intimate with him? By prayer, by learning about him through the Word of God, by enjoying his fellowship, and simply being aware of his presence in all the affairs of our day. Notice that the Bible doesn't tell us to address our prayers to the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus tells us expressly to pray to the Father in his name. The scripture about the Holy Spirit not speaking of himself is wrongly understood. The correct translation says, he shall not speak from himself as the source. Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit only speak what the Father shows them, and they only do what the Father tells them. In summary, then, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong to speak to him and express our appreciation for the way he's unfolding Jesus to us. It's not wrong to tell him that you love him for showing you Jesus. But, beloved, I want you to become so aware that he waits for you in love. He's offering to you the vastness of his comfort, the guidance of his eternal wisdom, the endless supply of his resources and creativity. Beloved, you can't fail. Jesus has come to us through the blessed Holy Spirit with a bestowal of spiritual gifts. Praise God. Can't you just say, I love you, Holy Spirit? Amen. Well, it's been such a joy to bring this teaching, this message to you, and I pray that you'll continue to pursue his wonderful presence. My time has come to a close. The announcer is going to give you our contact information, and until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,